Hello and welcome to the Office Dev Show, the show all about Office 365 development. And today I have Richard DiZarega with me, and we'll be covering how to create a Ruby app with connecting into Microsoft Graph and looking at files.
That's right. Yeah, so, you know,
we haven't done Ruby.
We've done a lot of just everything else under the sun. But yeah, you know, interestingly, we did some background telemetry around how, like, the different languages and the information that we have for documentation. And Ruby was actually really high on the list. It was one of those ones that surprised me.
It was actually higher than Python, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a sample here that connects to the Microsoft Graph. We're going to actually do Ruby on Rails. So Rails kind of helps us get some of that scaffolding in place. And so we'll make it happen.
Sound good? Excited to get some gems going?
Yeah, let's do it. So the first stop when you're going to go on this journey with us of building any sort of app that connects to the Microsoft Graph is registration. You need to register your app so that you can get authenticated, get permission to actually call into the different resources. And so the great thing is that graph.microsoft.io is a great place that aggregates all the information you'd ever need around the Microsoft Graph. So you can see we have getting started information, documentation, the Graph Explorer, which is like an invaluable tool for exploring and testing out different endpoints. But what we're going to do today is this app registration piece. So I'm going to go ahead and go into app registration. I have two options. I can register my application using the Office 365 app registration tool. That's what we're going to use today.
Yep.
There's also a new preview app registration that will become more popular over time. That's looking at some of the new ways we're allowing for a converged experience between consumers and commercial accounts.
Just making it easier, basically, to automatically or automagically, if you will, determine if your users are either on the consumer, like the Outlook.com, for example, endpoints, or more on the business endpoints.
That's right. And actually, what we're doing today, I didn't set up to do the preview one. I think I wanted to get the Office 365 one because it's actually in production.
Yep.
But we're doing files today. And OneDrive is actually supported in this. So you can imagine that OneDrive is a consumer service that you have, you know, personal files. You might have, you know, all your personal photos, whatever. But then there's also a commercial version of that with OneDrive for Business. And the great thing is with that new app registration, I can go in, go through one authentication flow, regardless of what type of account it is, and hit one endpoint. I can just say me/drive and be able to go and get to that drive, whether that's OneDrive for Business or the OneDrive consumer. Anyway, that was a lot of talk, but we're not going to do that. We're going to do the
office. Exciting stuff coming
soon. That's right. We're just teasing you.
Yes.
That's right.
We'll have more on that later.
That's right. So we'll go here, and what I'm going to do is go ahead and sign in with an Office 365 account. So what this Office 365 account needs to be an account that can write objects into Azure Active Directory. So it's what I recommend is that developers start with one of the developer tenants that if you go up and sign up for our dev program, you can get one of those developer tenants, and that allows you to be basically a global administrator. In your organization's Office 365, you might not have that sort of flexibility. I know I don't here. They don't let me be a directory admin.
Why not?
I don't know.
Yeah. Super admin.
Yes. Not at Microsoft. They don't let me do that. So I'll go ahead and sign in. And this is going to bring me into this cool little app registration tool. And so you could see I can do things like specify name. Let's just call this the My Drive for Ruby. And in this case, we are building a web application. For our redirect, I think I'm going with port 3000. I hope this doesn't mess me up.
For the sign-on.
Yeah. Believe that's what we're using by default with the Rails app that we're doing. But we'll go ahead and go with this. I can always update it if I need to. And we're going to go with files read. Mm-hmm. You can see here's all the different permissions. This isn't even all of the permissions. There's additional permissions, and we're adding new ones all the time. If you're interested in the comprehensive list of different things you can do, it's definitely in the documentation.
Yep.
And the Azure Management Portal exposes
all
the additional ones. This is kind of like a quick getting started,
shortcut.
Get started building your app. Yeah. So we'll go ahead and register our app. That's going to give us two things. It's going to give us a client ID and a client secret. Go ahead and write this down, folks, because
you'll never see it again.
You'll never see it again. That's right. But this is basically the two components that I need to kick off and, mm-hmm. and get a successful flow of getting tokens back through OAuth.
Yep.
And so we'll do that here in just a moment. But now that we have that app registered, we're ready to kind of start our Rails application. And so what I'm going to do is go out to Terminal and let's kind of get that scaffolding going. What I'm going to do is first let's change directories out to where I keep some of my Ruby projects. So we'll just go to Projects and Ruby. And let's do a Rails new, and let's call this, I think I called it My Drive Ruby. And so I'll go ahead and kick this off, and that's going to go and create that scaffolding for me. Rails is going to basically set up a really nice MVVM mm-hmm. type of setup. And so now that that's done, I'll go ahead and change directories to that new folder. So we'll just go to My Drive. And I'm gonna use Visual Studio Code.
Okay.
Visual Studio Code, that might not be what you use for Rails development. I use code for almost everything, and it does a decent amount of syntax highlighting, even for things like Ruby. And so that's just what I'm gonna do. And it does support things like add-ins, so you can get even better experience. But it does enough for what I need to do today. So let's go ahead and let's just do a code dot and bring this up. Now, the first thing that I need to do is pull in a few dependencies that our project is going to use. We want to try to make authentication easy. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of libraries out there that make that easy for Ruby. So we're going to use the OAuth2 library for that. A few other things that we're going to do in here is we want an easy way to be able to compile CSS from different libraries. So we're going to pull in Bootstrap, and we want to be able to like compile that down. And so we're going to use things like less. So there's going to be a bunch of different dependencies we're going to add to this. Mm-hmm. And hopefully if you're a Ruby developer, a Rails developer, you know I'm going to do that in my gem file. So I'm going to come out here to my gem file, and just at the very bottom, I'm going to add some additional dependencies mm-hmm. that I want. And I just copied them here so I wouldn't have to type it out. So here are my new dependencies. I'm going to pull in the Ruby Racer that's going to help me do some of the JavaScript compiling,
interpreting.
OAuth2, I'm going to use Faraday to do some of my REST calls. That's going to help me perform my REST calls. Less Rails, and then the Twitter Bootstrap Rails to bring that into my project. So let's go ahead and zoom back out. We'll save this. And just to kind of show you this working, there's a few places I could go to see it working, but I'll go to the Assets folder under JavaScript, because one of the things we definitely want when we do this is that we want it to pull in Bootstrap mm-hmm. so we can get a little bit more of a nice looking feel. And so let's go ahead and see that this is all good. We'll go back to here, and what I'm going to simply do is do a bundle install. And so that's going to go and ultimately pull in everything we need. And I had this happen to me once the other day. I might have to stop this and redo it, because it shouldn't take that long. Let's do this again. Let's go to Projects, Ruby, and My Drive. And let's do that again, Bundle, Install.
There we go.
I knew it should immediately go to a progress. So now we're pulling that down. We have everything pulled in, and if we go back to our project and refresh, actually there's one additional thing I'll need to do before that shows up. We're going to do a Rails generate bootstrap, and we're going to do an install less. There we go, and you just saw that occur in the background, so you can see it has this mm-hmm. new bootstrap.js.coffee, so that's going to our application is set up to look for everything that's in that JavaScript folder and add those dependencies automatically to the main layout. All right, a few other things we'll do in here. This is a modern view controller application mm-hmm. Because we set it up with Rails. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to generate right off the bat. There's going to be three controllers we use. So let's go ahead and set up those three controllers. So I'm going to say Rails generate controller. And the first one we're just going to call home. That's going to be our home page. So we'll go ahead and do that. Let's create another one we'll call, and you can see this all changing in the background. Visual Studio Code's really good at picking up those changes. The next thing we'll do is we'll create a controller called auth. So as soon as we get a home screen, we need to have a button and have them go ahead and authenticate. So we'll go ahead and create an auth. And then the last one, if we're successful with everything, we want to display that drive, all the files that they have. So we'll do one more, and we'll just call this files. And so that should have pulled in everything. And when we create that controller, it's going to create a bunch of things. It's going to create the actual controller Ruby file. It's going to create a helper file for it. And it's going to create a view folder that we can actually create views for. So let's go ahead and do a little bit of setup here. What I'm going to do first of all is, because this is using Rails, I need to set up a couple of routes, at least my default route for the application. And so where I can find that is under, I'll just go to config and my routes.rb. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to set up my default route here that I'm going to set as, in this case, what we're going to do is we'll call it home and we're going to use the index view. So we're going to use that index view. Now, I haven't really created that index view yet, so let's do that part. I'll go ahead and save this. And what we'll do is, let me find that controller. So here is our home controller. And let's just set up an empty one for now. So I'm just going to do a def index. And the other part of this is we need the actual view part. So if I go down to views, here's home. Let's create an index file. So let's do new file. And we'll do index.html. Erb. And just to, let's just put a simple link in here. So we'll say ahref is going to be equal to just a pound for now. And let's just put some classes of button, button primary, and button block. And we'll have it say sign in with Office 365. Okay. So now that we have that, we're basically, this should be set up to do some of the core things. Let's just make sure really quickly, I'll just save this. Let's just make sure it actually is going to run and looks good. So we'll just do a Rails server. Okay, I did get the right port number, thank goodness. So let's go back to our browser and view our application. And what it should do, because we set up that default route, is it should display that default view that we have. So it's just a simple little sign-in button. Doesn't really do anything. That's what we need to do next, is we need to set this up to actually do some interesting things. So what I'm going to do is let's actually go back to Visual Studio Code, and let's set up a little utility to help us with authentication. Now, we have that OAuth2 library that we brought in. It's going to make it pretty easy for us. So I'm going to go into my helpers. And you can see I have a helper for each one of my controllers. I'm going to go to that auth helper. And what I'm going to do is I do this so often, I just have a quick little snippet here. So we're just going to use my little auth snippet. And actually, that's fine. If we look at here, there's a few details that it's asking for at the top. You can see that it wants a client ID and a client secret. We just had that. We had set that up earlier. It's set up already to use a static redirect URI, and luckily we used the right port when we did our registration. A few of the other things that are here are the two main things that occur during that authentication flow. An OAuth2 flow with Azure Active Directory has two steps. One is we redirect to sign in the user and consent the app. That returns a code. With that code, I then get an access token. So you can see the two things I have set up here. One is get the login URL. That's the first part. Get what I redirect to, because it's a carefully formatted string. You can see I'm using things like the redirect. It knows the client ID. It knows the secret. All the things that it needs to do that first part. Then I have another function here called get token from code. So once we get that code back, then we can get an actual access token to actually do some communication.
And that you'll end up passing through to the endpoint.
That's right.
To the graph endpoint.
That's right. So this is really just a very simple little utility that we can use to handle that flow. So let's actually use it. First, let's copy in our client ID and secret before we forget, because that would be really bad. So let's grab our client ID. paste it in here. We've got our client secret. And we'll also paste it in here. Awesome. So the next thing I want to do is I want to modify our index view to use this git login URL. So let's go back to our home controller. I'm going to add one additional thing. I want to be able to work with that auth helper. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do an import or an include auth helper. So that's that class that we have defined in the auth helper file. Now I can use this. So let's just define something that we'll call maybe login URL. Just a really simple variable that we can use to get that. And the way we're going to do that is simply just call our git login URL. So that's going to allow us to go and make a call and get that information back. Now it's just as simple as going and modifying our view to use that variable that we've set up here that's going to be available in the actual view. So if we go back to the view, instead of doing a pound here, what I'm going to do is just add some quick little syntax where we can use that variable. Mm-hmm. So let's just save this, and if we go back to our application and just do a quick refresh, if I click on sign in with Office 365, you can see it's starting to take us through that OAuth flow because it was able to get this correct login URL. Now, if I were to say accept here, it's going to come back and bring me a code. In fact, let's go ahead and finish this. It's going to fail. And the reason it's going to fail is we've already set up where we want it to send codes back to, but we haven't defined that controller yet, and there's no view for it. And so if I go and say accept, it's going to come back and it's going to barf. It's going to say, whoa, wait, there's no route that matches authorize. So let's go ahead and set that up. Let's go back to code and I'll go back to our routes and let's start by setting up our route. So let's just do a git authorize, and this is going to be, we'll use the path auth and then maybe pound, we'll just say git token. So that is that path that we need. Now, I don't have a git token. I don't have a git token in my auth controller. So let's go ahead and add that really quickly just as a setup. So if I go back to controllers.
One more.
Oh. I think. Yep. Auth controller. Let's go and define this. So we'll just say def bang end. Now, what this needs to do, this is where that code's getting passed back to. So what we need to do in this is we actually need to go and take that code, get a real token, and then we're going to set it into session state so that I don't, every time I go and query data, I don't have to go through this flow again. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep that. Those access tokens are good for an hour.
Okay.
And there's even a refresh token part of it that I can cache for a longer period of time. But for the very least, I should be good for an hour to do this. So let's go ahead and do that. So what I'm going to do is I'll say token is equal to, and we're going to call the git token from code. And in that, we're going to pass the code parameter that is in the URL. Mm-hmm. Now, again, in order to use our helper, I need to do our just really quick include. So include auth helper. Once I have that token, I'm going to go ahead and set it into session. So I'm going to say session, and I'll just give this arbitrary value. We'll call it the Azure Access Token. What's wrong?
I don't know if you're going to use it later, but you misspelled Azure, unless you want to keep misspelling it.
Yeah. We'll spell it right. Why not? And actually, this needs to match because I'm already using the session in other places. So I think that's right, though. And then the last thing that we need to do, there's actually going to be no view with the auth controller. This isn't going to actually display anything. What we need to do is once we get that token, go take them to the files view. So that's what we'll do next is we'll just do a quick redirect. So we'll do a redirect on a new line. We'll do a redirect to. And what we're going to go to is, in this case, the files index URL. Now that files index view doesn't exist yet, so this is kind of cascading quickly. Let's go ahead and just create a quick stub for that. If I were to save this right now, let me save my route as well. We're going to get a new error, but just, I mean, it doesn't take long, so we'll go ahead and, I don't want Spotify. Let's go back here, and let's just go through the whole process. Sign in, and you can see this case, it's saying wrong number of arguments. Oh, well, that's a little bit different. What am I missing here? Oh, that's, I did one thing wrong. Let's go back to that auth controller. It's not code, it's params. Yeah. So let's try that again. There we go.
Okay.
So now it's saying this doesn't exist, this variable.
We haven't defined the variable.
Yeah, and what defines that is setting up the actual indexed view. So if we were to go, or actually the route, to be quite honest. So we need to do three things. We need to go to our files controller, not files coffee, our files controller. And let's go ahead and define index here. Okay, that's good. We need to create a view for it. So we'll go down to our views and we'll create a quick little files view. So we'll do index.html.erb. And we'll just say hello world for now. And the last thing we need to do is we need to set up that route. So I'll come back here and we'll do a git. And this will be files/index. Mm-hmm. Okay, so with those three things in place, we should be able to come back here, refresh this, and it should bring us to nothing. File. Oh, I see what I did. I called it file. It needs to be files. And that will be in the auth controller. All right. Refresh. And there we go, hello world. Okay.
Yep.
So at this point,
it knows.
We have an access token behind the scenes. We can start calling into the Graph API. So let's do that. At this point, we don't really have anything in our control. Let's go add some guts to that. So let's go back here. We'll go to our files controller. Again, right now it's empty, but let's go ahead and add a little bit of code. And I created a snippet just to kind of show you what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go grab my token out of session state. Or I'm going to try to get my token out of session state. The first thing I'm going to do is make sure it's actually there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, down here at the very bottom, I'm going to say take them back to the root. Take them back to the sign-in screen.
So they can.
Yeah, it's going to handle that whole process. If my token expires, we'll force them back to that sign-in screen.
Great.
If we take the happy path and the token's good, what we're going to do is use Faraday to actually go and call into the Microsoft Graph. So what we're going to do is actually call into the v1 endpoint /me/drive/root/children. Seems kind of long, but that's how we get all the different files that are in that drive. So mm-hmm. what it's saying is, here's my drive. This is the root location of that, like the root folder.
And go get
all the children
yep.
of it. Now, an important part, that probably the most important part in calling the graph, is that I provide that access token in the header of every request. And so you could see what I'm doing here is I'm saying, go and set the authorization header to that token, a bearer token. I'm specifying is it a bearer token. And I'm also saying that I want JSON back.
Yep.
Ultimately, that's it. I'm doing a get here with it. And once the data comes back, I'm going to specify it in a files variable. Mm. So everything's going to be in that files variable that in my view now, I can go update it and maybe make a pretty table that repeats through it. So let's actually do that. I'm going to just zoom back out. Let's go to our index. And I don't like typing a whole bunch of HTML in here. So this doesn't do, unfortunately, for the ERB. And there might be a great code plugin that does this. So if you're watching this and you know of one, let me know if there's a code plugin for this. But it doesn't support Emmet if it has an ERB extension. Emmet would normally like build out all of my HTML for me, but in this case it doesn't. So I'll go ahead and paste this in. And just as, I mean, it's really simple what's going on here. It's just saying for each file, let's loop through and I'm going to output the name and the size for that file. So that's it. I think we have a completely done Rails app now. Let me just make sure everything's saved. So I'll just do a save all. Let's go ahead and go back from the start with this. So let's just go back to the root. Sign in with Office 365. It's going to come back. And there we go. We have our files. So you can see there's some folders here. That's why it's a zero. And if I go down, though, you can see the size of some of these bigger files. Again, you didn't see a sign in because this browser already has...
We cached the token.
Well, actually, it has nothing to do with us. The browser has actually taken the login cookie from signing in. If I were to close Chrome and just do this again, we'll do an in-private window. Well, maybe not.
Yeah, you should be able to.
It's not letting me.
You're right-clicking?
I am. Now it does. Maybe I need to have one up. Never seen that before. So we'll just go back to localhost 3000. Now it's going to force me to do the sign in.
Yep.
That's why I did in private, is so it would actually force me to do the sign in. But when we sign in, it should bring us back, and
right,
we have our files.
Very
Bing.
Cool.
There you go. Rails app.
We now have a Ruby sample.
There
Excellent.
You go.
Awesome. Thank you. So if you're developing Ruby apps and you wanted to get started using Microsoft Graph and including our data from Office 365 and then eventually from the Outlook and Outlook.com consumer side of things, now there's a sample to get you started really quickly.
That's right.
That's right. So go code some Ruby apps, and as always, happy coding.